Our question for this morning in our catechism is number 39, what shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? And last week we considered what shall be done to the wicked at their death. And we talked about the reality, reason, revenge, reserving and reward of hell. And today we look more to the future in regards to the unbeliever and the ungodly. What shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? And the answer is, at the day of judgment, the bodies of the wicked being raised out of their graves shall be sentenced together with their souls to unspeakable torments with the devil and his angels forever. We have four texts. Daniel 12:2. If any of you would read that for us in a moment. And John 5:28-29, Liam please, and Dan if you could read 2 Thessalonians 1:9, and Dave if you could read Matthew 25:41. What shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? A very important question, especially when we consider that in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about the judgment in the sense of damnation and in the sense of hell, that he spoke of the reward of heaven and the blessings of the believer. So we're by no means being ungracious when we think of these things. We are only following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also good for us to think of these things from the point of view of believers, especially when it comes to the issue of evangelism and in sharing the gospel, because this is one of the main motivations that we have to share the gospel with the unbelievers, because we're not just bringing to them some thing that maybe might be nice for them to consider, but something essential for them to believe if they are to escape the judgment of the last day in this context. Well, the answer is, at the day of judgment, the bodies of the wicked being raised out of their graves shall be sentenced together with their souls to unspeakable torments with the devil and his angels. First of all, the fact and the reality of the judgment, at the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of the day of judgment. We will read in a few moments in Matthew's Gospel of the words of the Lord Jesus speaking of the day of judgment. But then there is the subjects spoken of in the answer. The bodies of the wicked being raised out of their graves. At the day of judgment, or at the general day of resurrection, as we have talked about it before in previous questions, all people will be raised, the righteous and the wicked. Now it's very important, before we go any further in our definition, to explain, when we say the wicked, we're not talking about the fact that there's some people who live good lives and some people who live bad lives. That's not what we're saying. We're all wicked by nature. We're all evil by nature. The only difference is that those of us who have been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus are no longer considered to be wicked. We are wicked. We are evil. We are just as sinful. In fact, Paul in Romans says, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we are just as wicked in and of ourselves as the ones that we're considering here this morning. The only difference is these ones have not been redeemed from their sinfulness. Any one of us, if we were asked this morning, do we deserve this treatment outside of Christ? We all would say, of course. The bodies of the wicked being raised out of their graves. And just like we will have new and glorified bodies, the wicked will have bodies. And this is something we can't really explain. The wicked will have bodies that will be so designed that it will be able to endure eternal judgment. I mean, these bodies would not be able to endure eternal judgment. They will be fitted with bodies that will have the capacity to endure throughout all eternity the judgment of God. Just in the same way, or in a different way I suppose, we will have bodies that will be fitted and made for the glories of heaven. We must remind ourselves that the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked or even of the judgment of the wicked. But they shall be sentenced together with their souls to unspeakable torments with the devil and his angels forever. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. I believe one of the most awful realities for the wicked at the day of judgment will be the shame of the judgment. It won't be so much what's happening to them, whatever it is, externally, but it will be the sense of shame and the sense of exposure of their wickedness and their sin and everlasting contempt. Do you know the way when sometimes in our lives we might be some part of our character that's not very nice might be seen by others, and there's that, just in that microcosm moment compared to this, there's that sense of blushing, that sense of, you know, just feeling really, really shameful. That's nothing in comparison to what will be experienced at the day of judgment by the ungodly. John chapter 5, 28 and 29.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which at that in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
An awful phrase, isn't it? The resurrection of damnation. We, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, shall partake of the resurrection of life. But the wicked, the resurrection of damnation. The Word of God reminds us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. A fearful thing. What a fearful thing it will be for those who are raised for damnation. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Impossible to imagine what this phrase means. Everlasting destruction. I mean, we use the word destroy, but normally when we destroy something, it's cast away, it's something that's done once and then the thing is discarded. But here we have the idea of everlasting destruction. And it's not just that as we might destroy a chair, it's broken in and of itself. No, here in 2 Thessalonians 1, 9, it's a punishment of everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, banished from the presence of God, and from the glory of His power. Now, you know in the Word of God where we read, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love Him. Well, I think part of the judgment of God upon the ungodly will be they will realize what they missed and what they will miss for all eternity. That's why it says, you know, banished, punished from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. But not from His power. Notice what it says, punished from, or put away from the glory of His power. That's the glory of His power. But the awfulness of His power, they will feel for all eternity. And finally, Matthew 25 and verse 41. So Matthew 25:41, Dave? Matthew 25 and verse 41. Thanks, Dave. I think the most awful words that the scripture records in this verse that we just heard, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Liam often reminds us that this lake of fire was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, obviously, we know that in the eternal mind of God, it did include but the ungodly, but primarily the preparation was for the devil and his angels. But depart from me. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. So as we consider this week, this question and this answer and the scripture proofs along with it, may this be a motivator to us to share the gospel and to proclaim the gospel to all that are in our midst, that we might see many saved for the glory of His name.